What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Got any ideas that will work to help your favorite teams? Let them know about it by calling 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream every NFL on CBS playoff game. Live on Paramount Plus.
Oh yeah, party up. That phone is blinking. Full rack of calls. People hit me on Twitter. People hit me on TikTok, at Keith McPherson, wherever you use social media. I may respond, I may not. But I got a good one. User 2768-43305 reached out. He said, I just listened to your comments on The Fan. Key difference between Sam Darnold and Herbert and Jordan Love is that he's got the NFL's premier wide receiver duo to throw the ball to. I said, name one of his offensive linemen. You can't. But in my handy-dandy notes, I have an article from the Vikings on Sports Illustrated, and they talk about a putrid offensive line PFF grade. He can't block for himself. The Rams generated 43 pressures. He was sacked 9 times last night. 32 pressures, like, come on. Or 43 pressures and 32 were surrendered by Minnesota's struggling offensive line. I think I tried to use this analogy for Daniel Jones last year. Like, imagine having one of those drunk driving things on your head. I don't want you to imagine drunk driving. You might be driving, and hopefully you're not driving drunk. But imagine you are impaired, under the influence, and you have to drive a car at high speed. And you have to dodge other cars. You have to get off on exits. You've got to make turns. You've got to have very quick reflexes. It's pouring rain. You can't see anything. Like, that is how under duress these quarterbacks are. Their head is spinning. They're hurt. Sam Darnold is hitting his arm off of his offensive lineman's helmet. It is a bad day at the office. 888-808-1019. Right tackle Brian O'Neill, who left the game with a concussion, was charged with 7 pressures, 2 sacks. Left guard Blake Brandell gave up 2 sacks, 5 total pressures. Right guard Dalton Reisner stumbled his way to 5 pressures, including a sack. But you don't know them. So those guys are just do-dee-do-dee-doo, quietly going home, and they're good. No one knows who they are. But Sam Darnold, oh, it's all Sam Darnold's fault. Yeah, I get it. I get it. Thomas is in Yonkers. Thomas, you're on The Fan.
Hey, Kenny. Thanks. I appreciate you taking the call. I want to defend Sam.
The pride of Ocean Township. Kenny P. Kenny Football. What's up, Thomas?
Yeah, I just want to defend Sam in the same way that you did. And basically, you know, it's extremely hard to be a really good quarterback in this league. And you know this. If you look at the Super Bowl winners from 2000 until last year, I think that's 24. 20 of those teams were led by a sure shot Hall of Fame quarterback. 3 got in, Brad Johnson early with Tampa Bay, Nick Foles as the backup, and Joe Flacco with the Ravens, who had a tremendous postseason. So, I mean, it just tells you how difficult it is to do it. And as far as Sam, you know, they should stick with him, give him more years. I would not give up on him. They got out-schemed. They only lost to Detroit and L.A. 2 times this year, the only games that they lost. There must have been, maybe you could look at it better and break it down on film. There's something that they didn't make an adjustment on. They got out-schemed.
Oh, Aaron Glenn.
That falls on the head coach and the offensive line. So thanks for the call, Ken. I appreciate it.
Kenny Pickett, the pride of Ocean Township. Go Big Red. You know, I see Antonio Brown posting Kenny Pickett way too much. Antonio Brown... Anytime a quarterback plays bad, he has an AI image of Kenny Pickett. I'm like, come on, bro. Come on, bro. My name's Keith. I try to say Keith McPherson on The Fan. Sometimes I say KM. It's been my fourth year on the radio here. Kenny's close. You know, sometimes the name Keith is Kenny, Kenneth, Kevin, whatever. You don't have to know who I am. At least you called. Thanks for the call, Thomas. Yeah, Aaron Glenn exposed them the week before, and all that is on tape for Sean McVay and not Don Shula's son. What is that, Don Shula's grandson, Chris Shula? Yeah, they had enough on film from the week prior to say, oh, yeah, we're going to heat them up. And they got some big boys up front. They got some dogs up front. You know what I love about Les Snead, the GM of the Rams? When the Rams won the Super Bowl, he famously said, F them picks. Yeah, he didn't need his top picks. He can send away picks for Jalen Ramsey. He could send away picks for Odell Beckham Jr. You know why? Because they're digging into the draft in the fifth round to get their starting running back, Kyren Williams. They're digging into the draft in the fifth round to get Puka Nacua. Speaking of that line, oh yeah, we'll use a first round pick on Jared Verse, who scored the touchdown last night for the defense. Second round, we'll go get Braden Fisk. We'll put the dogs up front, Kobe Turner, Byron Young at outside linebacker. I could go on. The kid Kobe Durant that you saw was a fourth round pick that had the interception yesterday. Like, they know how to scout. They know how to play the draft. How many times I tell you guys the draft is a competition? Some teams are better than others at it. Jay's in Hoboken next up on the Fan. What's up, Jay?
Hey, Keith. How's it going?
You know, it's going.
I hear what you're saying about Sam Darnold, but I do not want to see him come back to New York at all. I don't think he wants to either. Exactly. You know, he got run out of there. He's never going back. But, you know, he did all right in Carolina. He played some good games there. I've never really seen him string along, more than several games in a row where he's played well. He did have some bad games this season, but Minnesota had a really weak schedule, and then their coaching took care of it for him. Not to mention he had Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison. You're right that the line was non-existent yesterday, but he was holding on to the ball for too long, too.
Sure.
And I would tell you that a good quarterback is going to, you know, play some preventative offense then and know that he's getting rid of the ball right away instead of holding on to it.
Yeah, but a lot of that is scheme. A lot of that is play call. A lot of times, Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison, they're running routes downfield that take time to develop. So, like, that's why I also put some of this on Kevin O'Connell. Where was the shift at halftime? You know,
You're right.
I look at Darnold, and I get it. You know, and thanks for the call, Jay. Everybody's saying, get rid of the ball, and throw it to the other team. Get rid of the ball, and throw it where? Guys got to get open. You got to set your feet. And, like, that's another thing about the quarterback position. It takes an incredible amount of arm strength, athleticism. Like, he showed you last night, he doesn't have the natural knack in the pocket to avoid the rush, to sidestep, to set his feet and make throws. He threw behind guys. He missed guys open in the flat. That one that he threw the nailer behind him, I'm like, you got to hit him. But it's all compounded when you're hitting your arm on your offensive lineman's head, when you're sacked 9 times, you are stunned and dazed. You are like a fighter, just like standing there trying to continue on and go round after round, but you don't have it. Michael's in Ridgewood on the Fan in New York. Hello, Michael.
Hey, how's it going, Keith? First time caller.
Thanks for the call.
Yeah, I agree with you wholeheartedly. I think Sam Darnold deserves to get paid. I'm a Vikings fan personally, and I loved him this season. I thought he was great. I think he deserves every single dollar that anyone can give to him, and if whether it's with us or another team in the NFL, I think he deserves it. I think he came out 14 games. He gave us 14 wins. At the beginning of the season, I didn't think we were going to even win 4.
Yeah, so the last caller said they had a soft schedule, but early in the season when he goes on the road and beats the Giants when they were in favor, like, what about that? Early in the season when he goes and beats the 49ers who went to the Super Bowl, what about that? Early in the season when he goes and beats the Texans who won a playoff game last year, what about that? Then he went on to beat the Packers. Like, he had some games this year where, like, I don't know. I saw Colin Cowherd early in the season talking about how he trusts Sam Darnold more than Lamar Jackson. That's a little much, but I just hate – how, like, the recency bias and how just because that was the last game that everyone watched, now we're bagging on Sam Darnold. He's not worth the money. He's going to get paid. Maybe it's by the Vikings. I doubt it because they drafted J.J. McCarthy 10th overall. Yeah. It wouldn't make sense. But if he wants to stay, maybe there's a franchise tag option because McCarthy's rehabbing. Or I just see Vegas, the Raiders. I think the Raiders are the team that has swung on Derek Carr, Gardner Minshew. They have the money. I think they could take a chance on him. There's other teams that are out there. Like I saw a post from BR Gridiron today that said the Steelers or the Saints. I don't know if the Steelers would pay him. Maybe the Saints. But I really like the Raiders for him. He's a West Coast guy, him going back out west.
I think the O-line cost them big.
Yeah, but we don't know those guys, so those guys get off. Thanks for the call, Michael. You know the quarterback. That's why I said when things go great, you get all the shine. When things go bad, you get all the blame. It is hard as hell to play the position. It's tough. It's tough. I wish I was a better quarterback. I was good enough to get my college degree and end up here, and I'm thankful for that. But I remember when the coach told me I had to play quarterback, I went home crying. My older brother, why are you crying? What happened at practice? You got hurt? Nah, they made me the quarterback. My brother said, what? You're about to play quarter? You're about to be the starter? I said, yeah, but I want to be a receiver. He said, are you crazy? My brother went and bought me a football. Every day we started throwing. Yo, 5 yards, 10 yards, 15 yards, hit me in the hands. I was 11 at that time. By the time I was 15, starting varsity quarterback as a sophomore, my brother didn't want to play catch anymore. It hurt. I'm good. I did my job here. 888-808-1019. I didn't want to play quarterback because of the scrutiny. Being a young fan, I'm like, everyone's going to be looking at me. I don't want to be the guy that everybody looks at. I don't want all that pressure on me. I'd rather play wide receiver where, hey, if the ball comes my way, that's my shot. But the ball's not going to come my way every play. The quarterback touches the ball every play. The ball is in his hands. All the pressure's on him. Sometimes you're going to be king. Other times you're going to get kinged. They had their way. And that's okay. Sam Darnold earned his paycheck. He earned what he's going to get in this offseason.
And by the way, and again, listen, Sam Darnold is never going to be a big-time quarterback. I truly believe that. He never wanted to get better once when he was on the Jets, and you can blame it on the coaching, on the environment.
What?
He never wanted to get better. He never got better. He's just going to be a fringe starter.
You're a Jets fan. You can't.
And he was awful with the Jets. He was awful.
Yeah,
and
the situation was awful.
Right, but
that just did what he did this year didn't want to get better. He worked.
But this is all you need to know.
Geno Smith also didn't want to get better.
He got put into a situation with Kyle Shanahan and the Niners, and now with Kevin O'Connell on the Vikings, where he had these two coaches that are quarterback whisperers, and he still couldn't win a big game. He still couldn't do it. And that is on him. That's not on them. That's not on the offensive line. It's not on weapons or whatever. He couldn't do it. He's also gotten paid $66 million in his career, so no one feels sorry for the guy.
And he's about to be over $200 million in the next few years.
Absolutely, and he's going to make a ton of money, and he should give half of that to Kevin O'Connell because that's the reason he's going to be making that much money.
These guys don't grow on trees, man. At any given time, there's only a handful of NFL quarterbacks. There's only like 15 of these guys.
Do you think Sam Darnold should come back to the Jets or the Giants?
Hell no.
Okay.
He doesn't want to come back here. He just played a whole season in a dome in a football palace in Minnesota.
He better hope that the Vikings want to keep him. Because
in Allegiant Stadium with the Raiders.
Anywhere else, he's never going to be as good.
Nah.
With Kevin O'Connell, Jefferson, Jordan Addison.
You got to let that Jets hurt go. Because you drafted him number 2 overall. It didn't work out.
Right,
then you ended up with deja vu with Zach Wilson. You got to let that hurt go. I like this guy's story. I like his trajectory. I like where he is headed next. And I'm not quitting on Sam Darnold after he got blitzed by Sean McVay and that defense last night.
So he has none of last night is on him?
Of course it is. He's a quarterback. But I think everybody is just easily pointing the finger at him, blaming him, saying it's all on him. Worst game ever. This guy sucks. See?
Now listen.
Told you. He's seeing ghosts. He's not like that.
He's the quarterback. Now, that being said, Kevin O'Connell had an awful game last night. Him going for it at 4th-and-2 at the end of the first half was ridiculous. He didn't make any adjustments. The guy's down 18 points, and he's running the ball up the middle of Cam Akers in the fourth quarter.
He panicked, too. The Minnesota Vikings are a fraudulent franchise altogether. They lost to the New York Giants a couple years ago.
Then if that's the case, they should look to trade Kevin O'Connell. Trade Kevin O'Connell then.
He was getting Coach of the Year consideration.
Right, because if they're a fraudulent organization, then they should look to trade him.
They are. Let's go to Gil in Northfield, New Jersey. Gil, you're next. You got it.
All right. How you doing? First time talking to you, Keith.
Thank you.
Okay. Yes, you mentioned, like I was listening to you about 20 minutes ago, about Judge. I know he doesn't do well in the postseason, but in that game, he hit a home run the last game.
Yeah,
then he
got
a big base hit mm-hmm. in the eighth inning, I believe it was. So yeah,
he was coming along. You know, I just wake up in a nightmare of like, what could have been? Maybe he got hot and goes back to L.A. and they win the next two games because he carries them. He was coming along. He was breaking through, and we never got to see it.
Exactly. But, I agree with what you said, too. A couple of years you were talking about when he was chasing the home run thing. They should have took it easy on him. Every at-bat, they on top of it. Let him go.
I was good with 61. I got on the fan and said, no Mas, enough.
Yeah,
he got the record. We need this guy for October.
Yes. All right, I get to my football thing. Okay, Sam Darnold, he's an okay quarterback, but when you put a little bit of a rush on him, he has happy feet, mm-hmm. and he doesn't get rid of that ball right away. That's okay. But look at the two guys that played last night, Stafford and Darnold. I'm taking Stafford all the time, which
all-time
I made a
great.
Mistake. I made a mistake. I put my money on Minnesota last night.
I should not
have done that.
Where was Brian Flores' defense? How come people aren't talking about the great Flores today?
No, you're absolutely right. That first drive, they went right down the field.
Stafford, unfazed by that defense. I see the Tampa 2 you're running or when you're trying to go, man. I see, and I know what I'm going to do. I got this tight end right here, Tyler Higbee. Take that.
Yep. But you see, in the two games that Darnold played in that he needed to win, at least one of them, really the first one, I think he scored, right? They had all field goals. They scored 18 points in two games. So, okay, he didn't come through there.
What are you going to do? Was it all field goals?
Well, was it the Lion game? They ended up with 9 points.
Oh, well, I mean, back-to-back weeks he folded. They had nine points in back-to-back weeks. They couldn't get it done.
They did
score a touchdown last night. Hockenson.
Right. Yeah, they did. But now you look at a guy, and I'm going to say his name, and Mahomes. If you could give me somebody that is 80% of Mahomes, the kid has eyes behind his head, on the side of his head, he sees everything. He knows when to run. He knows when not to run. He flips that ball. He fires that ball.
Mm-hmm.
He is a winner. And the problem, and, you know, they talk about Pittsburgh. Well, the guy's a good coach. He hasn't had a quarterback in how many years? Now, I think they made one mistake last year. They should have left Justin Fields in. They should not have taken him out when their record was 4-2. They took him out. They put Wilson in. Wilson had his day. Wilson's never going to be what he was when he's with Seattle. So that, you know,
Wilson did elevate their pass game. Thanks for the call, Gil. Right away, Wilson was able to elevate their downfield pass game. He's just more accurate and a better thrower of the ball than Justin Fields, but I think Justin Fields can evolve into that. I think Brian Daboll should have eyes on him because I think he's the type of guy that can run the ball in your offense like Daniel Jones did with some design runs. And if he's just trying to look for number one, Malik Nabers downfield, he can get him the ball. 888-808-1019. You know, you said something that made me think about, you know, these quarterbacks and how, you know, it might work out and then it doesn't work out. Like, the wrong, right or wrong situation. You talked about Patrick Mahomes. Perfect timing, perfect situation. Patrick Mahomes wears number 15 because he was drafted 10th overall, and he added that 10 to the number 5 that he wore at Texas Tech. And I believe he was at Texas Tech with Cliff Kingsbury. Cliff Kingsbury is a quarterback whisperer. He's calling the plays right now for Jaden Daniels. Andy Reid watches a lot of college football, so much so he's able to spot a Carson Steele. Andy Reid trading up to go get that guy when he already had Alex Smith, a number one pick at quarterback. Great move. They might get their fourth ring together. Andy Reid couldn't figure it out in Philly. When did he figure it out? When he found the GOAT at quarterback. And let's peel a layer back as well. 888-808-1019. I got a break. We act like Mahomes is just any kind of dude. You Mets fans know his dad played for the Mets. His dad was a professional athlete, so he got to see that early. He was not fazed by the pros. That's in his DNA. His dad was a pro. So it wasn't too big for him. He sat for a year. He came in and lit it up. And after they beat the Texans this weekend, I think he's going to go to his eighth AFC championship or seventh AFC championship. He's been in the AFC championship every year he's been a starter. My name is Keith McPherson. I'm the nighttime host. Many of you don't hear me because you go to bed, which I would go to bed too. I'll go to bed when I go home tonight. But you've got me on until the Brooklyn Nets start. Call the Fan. I'll be right back.
Your official station to talk Giants. The Fan, 101.9 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app.
And we're back. That didn't take long at all. Thanks for holding. Thanks for calling. 888-808-1019. Talking Sam Darnold. Of course, Sam Darnold had a bad game. Not a good showing. Wasn't excellent at all. Held the ball too long. Threw an interception. Took some sacks. But he didn't do it alone. The quarterback is the toughest position in the game. It is hard to go out there and lead a bunch of guys. It is hard to go out there with an entire fan base relying on you to be perfect. If the game plan isn't right, if adjustments aren't made, if guys aren't blocking, if guys aren't getting open, it is all on you to avoid the rush. It's all on you to get the ball out when there might be illegal hands to the face. There might be calls not called that could help you. It's all on you. It's Sam Darnold, right? It's not Tom Brady. Tom Brady gets some roughing the passer calls or gets some illegal hands to the face on his offensive lineman that Sam Darnold's not getting. He's not getting the benefit of the doubt because he's just Sam Darnold. He's no good. But the way I see it, the Vikings are no good. The way I see it, the Vikings are fraudulent as a team. But heavy is the head that wears the crown, right? When you're the quarterback and you win all season, you make the Pro Bowl, they talk about you in the MVP conversation, you get too much praise. But when you lose back-to-back weeks, when the team fails, the organization fails, it's all on you. And all day you heard Sam Darnold this, Sam Darnold that. Sam Darnold made himself a lot of money this year. Sam Darnold didn't lose that game alone. He didn't do enough to win the game either. And that's okay. He wasn't the only quarterback that failed this past weekend. There were higher paid, higher expectations from quarterbacks like Justin Herbert, Jordan Love, guys like that, that you expect to go out there and give you better performances that absolutely folded because it's not easy. It's hard to do. You know, I was looking at my notes. I'm like, you guys don't even remember the guy that didn't block the punt. What was up with that? Those are the type of things that would give Sam Darnold a short field. Fraudulent Vikings. Block the punt, bro. You're right there. How'd you miss that? Block the punt. Richie's in Queens. Richie, you're back on the Fan.
Hey, Keith, how are you?
I'm good, you know. A little earlier tonight.
Yeah. Well, you know, he didn't. It wasn't just on him, but he just put the game out of reach. The fumble was unacceptable. And I was counting the seconds he was in, you know, holding the ball. Out of 9 sacks, 4 were on him. The big play was 17-3, 3rd-and-2 on their own 45-yard line. They would have went for it on 4th down, and he gets a 15-yard sack. I don't think he's mentally tough, and that was a big thing. I was on the station yesterday, and I felt that between the two of them, Stafford is just a tougher quarterback. And
Stafford, I'm glad, is getting some of his flowers now. Stafford, I'm glad, at age 36, people are realizing, like, this guy should be a Hall of Famer. This guy has a chance this year.
Well, he's going to be.
You know, he's great. He's been great.
Yeah, he's going to be a Hall of Famer. His numbers are there. And obviously, he has the Super Bowl. The only thing with him next week, keep going ahead. He has not been a great guy in the cold weather. Dome player, warm weather. I think Philly's defense can give him a lot of trouble. The offensive line for Philly is awesome. I could see Barkley really having a big game. But, yeah, it doesn't just fall on the quarterback. But the quarterback, a couple of times he did have a short field. He got the ball back after that punt issue.
He had some
the ball
throws. He held the ball too long. Can't fumble, can't throw picks. But, like, it's all compounded. Thanks for the call, Richie. Get rid of the ball. That's how you throw interceptions. Make a play. I'm holding the ball because I'm trying to make a play. I don't have time to set my feet and throw the ball. These defensive linemen are fast. They're strong. They're huge individuals. Like, I don't know. I don't think people really understand what that's like. I don't understand what it's like. I know what the college level is like. I know what high school is like. It ain't no fun when you're under duress. It is not fun in games when every time you drop back, you know they're coming for you. Like, we watch football in the comfort of our homes. We don't even think about how painful it is. We watch football in the comfort of our homes. We don't think about how nerve-wracking it is, how much you need to know. It is brain overload. There is paralysis by analysis, overthinking. And like I said with Sam Darnold, he's thinking about, this could be my last game. If I don't play well here, I'm not going to make as much money. This whole fan base is depending on me. These guys in the locker room love me. We went viral. They lifted me up. We partied week 17. I got to make the throws. I got to make the play. That's Justin Jefferson. That's the best receiver. Not really Jamar Chase, but that's the highest paid receiver until Jamar Chase gets paid in the NFL. I got to get him the ball. He's pissed off. I got to get him the ball. I got to find a way. Kevin O'Connell, figure something out. Change the scheme. Stop letting him be a sitting duck. 9 sacks. I saw Emmanuel Acho put out after watching the film, 7 of those 9 sacks were not on Sam Darnold. Jarvis up in Harlem, back up on the Fan. What's up, Jarvis?
What's up, Keith? How are you doing?
You know, holding it down, bro.
Yeah, let's talk about the New York Jets and, you know, the coaching search. That being like the Jets interviewed 12 coaches. And, you know, all I hear from the, you know, the people from the, you know, WFN, like BT in the South, saying like, well, if I would trade the number 1-7 pick for Mike Tomlin, like, he's going to leave Pittsburgh. Like, I mean, that's,
no, he would never work under Woody Johnson. After being with the Rooney family, he's not interested.
Yeah, there's no way in God's green earth that Pittsburgh is going to let Mike Tomlin go. I mean,
yeah, they're not letting him go.
Be stupid enough to do that. Okay, come on, man. He's been there for 18 seasons, never had a losing record. I know his record in the postseason is like 0-6. I mean, that was like, I think they like 1-done for the 5th time. And, you know, like 1-6 in the postseason. I think the last postseason in the West was on 2016 when they beat the Bengals.
Yeah.
You know, so.
They might end up with Mike McCarthy. I was doing some thinking on it last night. Thanks for the call, Jarvis. Didn't Mike McCarthy last time around interview or was rumored to interview with the Jets before they hired Saleh and before McCarthy went to Dallas? They got to talk to McCarthy. Because the way I look at it, okay, they interview Ron Rivera. No, Mike Vrabel is now the head coach of the Patriots, obviously. He was in and out of the building. Rex Ryan, rumor is Rex is out, which, like, I don't, like, obviously, like, anyway. Matt Nagy, no, I wouldn't do that. Aaron Glenn, potentially. But I think he's going to have interest elsewhere, and other jobs are shinier than working for Woody Johnson and the 14-year playoff drought Jets. Mike Loxley, bro. Mike Loxley. I'm happy the brother got to interview for an NFL gig, and he's getting kind of some respect, but, like, no. Steve Spagnuolo. Spags is not leaving the Chiefs. And he's been around the block before. He's been a head coach before. He's up there, senior citizen age. Bro, like, their last two coaching interviews, local guy Darren Rizzi, I understand. But Darren Rizzi was a special teams guy and an interim coach for the New Orleans Saints. That's who you, like, I don't know. I don't know. I don't understand the logic. I understand the thinking of interviewing Jeff Ulbrich. Jeff Ulbrich was way over his head. What do you need to talk to him for? Hey, Jeff, tell us everything you tried to do so we can make sure not to do that moving forward.
You do him it's a favor that you got a head coaching interview on your resume.
It's a pony show.
Yeah, no, it's a favor.
It's not a favor.
It's a favor for Ulbrich that he can say he got interviewed.
No, I've had a lot of interviews in my life that I didn't get the job. They weren't favors. They were a waste of time.
Which, by the way, on that note, and I don't care who the Jets talk to, they can talk to 150 people. If they don't request an interview with Mike McCarthy,
I
will have an issue with that, because that guy has like a 6-10 winning percentage, won a Super Bowl, and frankly, if they're bringing Aaron Rodgers back, it makes all the sense in the damn world for Mike McCarthy to be the head coach of the Jets. I'm sorry, it just
I had
does.
A call last night, and someone was like, I don't think Mike McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers are on good terms. Why wouldn't they be? Time has passed. Aaron Rodgers seems to be a different person than he once was. If you watched Enigma, they had Mike McCarthy in his Dallas Cowboys gear at training camp. Looks like Mike took time out of his work to speak on Aaron Rodgers and speak glowingly of the type of person he is, the mind he is, yeah, the Jets have to at least attempt it. I don't know if it'll work. I don't know if they're bringing Aaron Rodgers back. I would not bring Aaron Rodgers back, but I mean, Mike McCarthy is out there. He's a proven NFL head coach. He builds programs. He's got to work on some of his clock management. He's got to work on some of his play calling, and that's what he did in Dallas. 888-808-1019. They just had to see him call plays. You can't get Mike McCarthy. Remember that like ESPN special they did where they showed like Mike McCarthy's year off from coaching? Like he's in the lab and he's working on stuff. Let me see. I hit up my guy RJ Ochoa. I'm connected with a lot of guys that cover the Dallas Cowboys. RJ Ochoa, I've had on the fan twice. He runs Blogging the Boys. And I said, yo, any chance you have the numbers on how many games Mike McCarthy coached and won without Dak Prescott? 2020, he was 4-7. 2021, he was 1-0. 2022, 4-0. 2023, he didn't have to. 2024, he was 4-5. And he said, if you're being super specific, there was a game in 2021 with Dak that McCarthy missed due to COVID, and Dan Quinn was the interim. But basically what I'm saying is like, every year except for 2023, which was the most embarrassing year because the 2-7 matchup, his former team, the Packers, come into Dallas and they beat the Cowboys. Dan Quinn, I'm looking at you, the defensive coordinator that clearly wasn't ready. But almost every year that Mike McCarthy was coaching the Dallas Cowboys, he didn't have the franchise quarterback. He had to lean on Cooper Rush. And even that one year, I think he had Ben DiNucci in 2020. Like, what? That's tough. Man, you need the quarterback. You need the coach. Do the Giants have the coach? Maybe. They absolutely need the quarterback. Mike is in Clifton Park, New York. I can hear myself in the background. Mike, you're on.
Hey, so, I wanted to talk Giant quarterbacks. I'm a big Giants fan. But let me throw a shout out to the Minnesota coach. He took Sam Darnold and got a 14-win season out of him. And even Mike Tomlin doesn't get enough love. He keeps getting his team to the playoffs without having a great quarterback room. So in terms of quarterbacks, here's my question. I need a measuring stick. If Daniel Jones was in the draft the last couple of years, where would he stack up against maybe we'll say last year's draft picks and maybe the top three or four draft picks coming out? Where would he fall in the middle of that group? I want to hear your take on it. Because if Giants do draft a quarterback, I want to know that this quarterback will be better, maybe as a prospect than Daniel Jones.
That's so tough to say. We're putting him in a group of Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, and then
Williams,
May, and Daniels.
Yeah, so like last year's top three or four quarterbacks, and then you have Saunders and Ward.
Anthony Richardson. I think he's a little better than Anthony Richardson. It's tough to say. So much of this is situational. Where you end up, mm-hmm. the coaches you're with, the personnel you have around you, the quarterback is the distributor of the pill. His job is to get that ball into the hands of the playmakers. If you don't have any playmakers, it's a tough job. There was a year where Daniel Jones was throwing to Richie James. Tough job. Kenny Golladay wasn't available. You know what I'm saying? Like, tough job. They had to go get Isaiah Hodgins. He had Saquon, but then last year, no Saquon, no number one receiver. It's tough. I'll say this about him. I can't compare him to like guys that played in the SEC or the Big Ten. For me, it was a red flag to go and draft number 6 overall a kid that played at Duke. Yep.
So let me ask you a question. Do you think Giants, if the top two quarterbacks are gone this year, should they try to go for like a Dart or Milrow, I think the name is, and maybe move back a little bit, not a lot, and get some draft picks and try to develop those two? And I'll listen to you, and thanks a lot, Keith, for the time.
Thanks for the call, Mike. Here's how I see it at the number 3 pick. If Sanders Incorporated does not want to go to Cleveland, Ohio, and somehow they force the Browns to take Travis Hunter, or I don't know, Abdul Carter, if Miles Garrett wants to get out of there and they need another pass rusher and they go Abdul Carter, The Giants have to take Shedeur Sanders. You have to. He's a star. He's going to sell those jerseys that John Mara is worried about. I already said, he's been a millionaire. He's been rich. He's already got fancy cars and jewelry. That's not going to be a lot for him. The millions of dollars that he's going to get, he already said he's putting into the collective so that the NIL and transfer portal at Colorado, where his dad is better. He's a football guy. He's a football lifer. And he's better than what you have. You have no one. He's better than Drew Lock right now. I think with Malik Nabers, those two hit it off. And I think with Brian Daboll coaching him up, he could be ready to play. But I also wouldn't just assume that he's ready to play. I would bring in still a Justin Fields or even like a Jameis Winston. I heard C-Mac one night talking about Jameis Winston. And people hear Jameis Winston, they say, oh, no, the turnovers. The pick sixes. Well, like, didn't Brian Daboll reduce Daniel Jones's turnovers where he had his best year protecting the football? Didn't Brian Daboll coach that out of Josh Allen? Maybe if there's one guy that can do it with Jameis Winston to deliver him from pick sixes, as Jameis Winston is in his post-game press conference praying to the Lord, saying, that's not me, Lord. Why? Deliver me from throwing pick sixes. Maybe Brian Daboll is the coach that can get that out of him for a year, for a one-year deal. And you let Shedeur get up to speed at the NFL level because he played at the HBCU level 2 years. Then he played 2 years in the Pac-12. I think there's going to be somewhat of a learning curve, but I like the way he throws the ball. He's a pocket guy. That Giants O-line is never good, and he wasn't playing behind a good O-line in Colorado. His whole thing is evading the rush. Unlike what Sam Darnold is able to do, he's able to spin out of the pocket, find grass, set his feet, and throw downfield. I think there could be something there. I got a break, but if they don't get the quarterback at 3, then you look for that pick 34, not for Milrow, but to get Jackson Dart out of Ole Miss and the connection with Eli Manning. 888-808-1019. I'll be right back.
Your official station to talk New York Rangers. Score! The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Devil's power play. About 1:45 left tonight. Keith McPherson on the Fan watching the Devils versus Panthers over at The Rock on ESPN Plus on my MacBook. Hosting the show, talking about Sam Darnold, NFL quarterbacks, how important they are to the state of your franchise. And really, when I land the plane, I want the message to hit for Jets and Giants fans that you cannot continue to kick the can down the road. You know, I use Sam Darnold and kind of taking the stance of backing him up a little bit and not piling on and pointing the finger at Kevin O'Connell, Brian Flores, other players, his offensive line, special teams, defense, they lost together. But ultimately, yes, you know, it starts and ends with the quarterback. If you don't have a good quarterback in this league, you don't have anything. And even when you have a good quarterback, they can fold in a do-or-die situation like Justin Herbert, like Jordan Love, and you're out. You're done. And their check is still going to cash. That game check is still going to cash, regardless of the interceptions that they threw. 888-808-1019. There's a reason why the Jets and Giants have been in the bottom four teams in the league as far as wins go the last decade. They haven't had a consistent quarterback, not one that's good enough to win and get you to the playoffs and win playoff games. There's been a merry-go-round of quarterbacks, whether that is through injury, whether that is through bad draft picks, whether that is through signing the wrong guys. You need consistency. And as we now look at, you know, Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs as the model of consistency, going for their third Super Bowl win in a row, that model is hard to find. That's another thing, too. It's not easy. Earlier I said these guys don't grow on trees. It's not easy to just identify Patrick Mahomes, son of a professional athlete, a guy that played football, basketball, baseball growing up. A guy that when he came into the league said he didn't even really know how to read defenses coming out of college. He knew how to run his plays and find his receivers and make a play, but he didn't know how to read NFL-level defenses. I mean, that is an advanced course. That's an advanced calculus. You guys, like, imagine driving that car through the rain, inebriated, and solving calculus problems on the dashboard. That's what it is to be an NFL quarterback in a playoff game. 888-808-1019. Will the Giants draft their quarterback of the future in this upcoming draft? We're 100 days away from the NFL draft. Will the Jets try and get one more year out of old man Rodgers at 41 and say, yeah, he's still got something in there. Maybe one more year away from the Achilles injury. If we actually get a coach in here and an offensive coordinator in here, and you know, if Aaron just puts all the other stuff to the side, which he won't, and just locks in and is a team player, you know, we can get him and Davante Adams, and maybe they can win enough one more year, win enough to end the playoff drought, and who knows what happens in the playoffs. If it's me, which it's not, I just host a radio show at night on The Fan and take your calls and talk about it. If it's me, I'm not drafting a quarterback third overall unless it's Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward. If I'm at three, I'm either trading back, but I'm really probably just going to take Travis Hunter or the best available. If it's Abdul Carter, so be it. But I do think there's a world where the Giants can trade back. They have a few different holes. They can trade back, get another first-round pick, and then see how far Jackson Dart falls or whoever it might be. The name Kyle McCord is really intriguing as well. Why not draft two quarterbacks this year? You don't have anybody. See where Kyle McCord is drafted. All this talk about Joe Milton, Bazooka Joe Milton, why did he fall to the sixth round? Not enough film on him. They thought he'd be a project. He transferred Michigan to Tennessee. He just didn't have enough reps. He didn't have enough experience. But, I mean, meanwhile, Bo Nix had a ton of reps and experience at Auburn and Oregon, high-level football. And the Giants passed on him. A bunch of teams passed on him. So it is an inexact science. You got to find your guy, zero in on him, and go get him in the draft. Kicking the can down the road or signing these bridge quarterbacks, these free agents, it's not going to get it done. Sam Darnold couldn't get it done. It was a cute story. That's all for the year. A great story. They won a bunch of games, but ultimately the four games they lost to two teams both times. 888-808-1019. Josh is in the Bronx. Josh, you're back on The Fan.
Pete, I'm telling you, you just hit on everything, man, because look, when Dable and Danny Jones went to the playoffs, right? You know, that really set him back, taking that quarterback. Mm-hmm. And now look where you are now. Exactly what you're talking about. They need a quarterback now. They can't kick that can, like you said, down the road. They got to do it now and fast, like you said, in the next 100 days, brother. Otherwise, forget it. And one more thing. I know you're not talking about it now, but I just wanted to know on the Yankees thing. Dominic Smith was signed to a minor league deal by the Yankees. You know, you don't have to elaborate on that until you get to it.
It's a non-factor. But, I mean, it works for us here in New York because there's Yankees fans and Mets fans listening. Thanks for the call, Josh. 888-808-1019. We got to break it down. Watching P.K. Subban, ESPN+. Let's go Devils. I would be over there. If I was doing my regular show, like coming on at night, if the Brooklyn Nets were playing in Barclays Center and I was coming on at 11, I'd be over there in Newark watching this Devils game right now. I'd pretty much swap my hockey fandom and NBA fandom. Like, the Nets suck now, so now I go and watch the Devils. Keith McPherson on The Fan. Call me up. I'll be right back.